I want to direct your attention to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. And we'll also read from 1 Peter 4 and verse 19 and 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. Some of these verses we all ought to have memorized. There was a season in my life that was the most painful season of my life. I was at the point of giving up. I felt like my ministry was over. Really, I just wanted to go find a hole and hide in it. Have you ever felt that way? And I just wanted to leave the ministry and go find a job somewhere where I wouldn't have to stand before a congregation or do anything like that. Wouldn't have to be anything but just kind of hide at a job. And I came to a youth convention in Albuquerque. It was at Old Highlands Assembly of God. And Jimmy Swaggart was the preacher. And he had planned to preach that night a message that he called the Ring of Fire. But when he got to the service that night, God said, "I don't want you to do that. I want you to preach about Jesus in the Gethsemane. What Jesus went through in the Gethsemane." And he talked about having multiple record offers to do secular music, but he was called to preach. He was called into the ministry. And it was a temptation. And finally, he came to a point where he just found a place to pray, and he just poured out his heart to the Lord. And he said, "Lord, you know the opportunities that I have." And he said, and at that time, he wasn't famous. He said, we were barely making it financially, traveling as an evangelist. And he said, "It's really, really difficult to turn down these offers." But he said, "You know, the Lord pointed me to Jesus in the Gethsemane. When Jesus said, 'Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me.'" And he said, when Jesus made that statement, he finished it off with this: "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And Jimmy said, when he began to review that, he came to that place where he said, "Lord, I'm going to preach, and I'll do my best to serve you." And from that day, God began to bless him. And frankly, he's still blessing him. I left that youth convention, and my brother was pastoring down in Jal, New Mexico. And I was driving a little Rambler. A lot of people here don't even know what a Rambler was. I was driving a little Rambler, and while we were at that youth convention, my brother went and purchased one of those big, long Lincoln Continentals. And I was going to hold a revival for him in jail. And we were driving along, driving down the highway, and I looked up in my rearview mirror. My brother and his wife, Huletta, at that time, were in that Lincoln. And I looked in the rearview mirror, and they were flashing their lights at me. So I found a place to pull off and got out of my car and went back to where they were. And Ray rolled the window down, and he said, Dale, Huletta and I would like to trade cars with you, change cars with you. We'd like for you to drive the Lincoln for a while, and we'll drive your car. Well, he didn't have to ask me twice. So I got into that car, and they got into mine, and they took off, and I was following them, and the Lord began to deal with me about wanting to leave the ministry. And one of the things that he kept saying to me was this: Dale, if you'll do what I've called you to do, I'll make it up to you. And I was having a pity party, and I said, well, Lord, look at what I was driving, and look at what my brother's driving. You know, God never wants us to compare ourselves to somebody else. Because we are individuals, we have individual talents, and he knew us in our mother's womb before we were ever formed. Yes. And he made us for a specific purpose. Our lives are not purposefulness. Our lives are lives of purpose. And I was telling him how bad things were. And, you know, I couldn't make any headway with him. And finally, I got frustrated, and I reached over and pushed an 8-track tape in the tape deck. How many of you have had an 8-track tape? Hey. So, when the tape began to play, I guess Ray had bought the tape. It was a Jimmy Swaggart tape. And they apparently had been listening to it. And when the tape began to play, the song that started playing was, "You don't need to understand. You just need to hold his hand." And I began to cry like a baby. And something happened in my life, in my heart, in that Lincoln Continental. I know God was leading Ray. I know he was leading him to have me get in that car. And something happened to me emotionally and spiritually that changed the course of my ministry. And I want to tell you something. In the 50 years since I went through that experience, God has never failed to be faithful. He's never failed to be faithful. God will always be faithful. There was another song that really ministered to me during that season. It was a song that the MacDuff brothers sang. And The title of the song was Faithful Is He. It was taken from this scripture that is my text. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. Another version of that passage says, faithful is he who calls you, who also will bring it to pass. God has a purpose for your life. And he's going to be faithful in you to bring that purpose to pass. Now, before I go any farther, that purpose may not be without problems. It may not be without issues. But as the song that I sung last says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. One of my favorite hymns is, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest on his promise, and just to know, thus saith the Lord. When God says something, you can take it to the bank. It's gonna happen. God is faithful when we're tempted. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You know, a lot of times when we're tempted, the enemy will tell us that our temptation is unique, that it's never happened to anybody else. But the scripture says that that's not the case. No temptation has taken you. No temptation has come into your heart, into your mind, or has been brought into your life that hasn't occurred to somebody else. But then there's this next four words. But God is faithful. God is faithful. And he will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear, but will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. Now, what the enemy tries to do when we're tempted is to get us to focus on the temptation. I'm often tempted to go to Cold Stone Creamery. But I'm marginally diabetic, so that's not a good thing for me to do. But you know what happens to me if I keep thinking about it? My car just automatically heads there. But what we have to do when we're being tempted is to focus on God's faithfulness and start looking for a way to escape. So sometimes, instead of going to Cold Stone, I eat a carrot. I know it's not as good, but it doesn't damage my body. And what we have to learn to do when temptation comes our way is to cry out to God and say, God, show me the way to escape. And I can guarantee you, if you start looking for the way of escape instead of focusing on the temptation, it doesn't matter how small or how great the temptation is, if we start looking for the way to escape, it will appear. God will make a way. Well, Brother Dale, what happens if I go to Cold Stone? What happens if I fall to the temptation? You know what? God doesn't throw his kids away. When we sin, the scripture says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful. And so if we fall to a temptation, we don't just lay there and bemoan our fate and say, I can never serve God again. I can never be anything for God. What we do is we say, God is faithful. And if I'll confess my sin, God will forgive me. Now, before I go any farther, that does not give us any license to sin and then just say, well, God will give me forgiveness. Because in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, there was a sacrifice for every sin except one. And that was a sin of presumption. And when we presume on God's grace, he doesn't have an obligation to forgive us. But if we're caught in a sin and we are truly repentant and we say, God, please forgive me, purge me, like David did, Lord, purge me from my iniquity. If we'll do that, God is faithful. Even when we sin, he is faithful. You know what? Did God say when you first came to him, you can't be my child until you go do this, 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 and this, and make all these things, do all these things, and jump through all these hoops, and then I will think about forgiving you? Is that how God operated? When we came to him and we said, Father, I have sinned. I confess that I am a sinner, and I ask you to wash me in the blood of Jesus. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my personal Savior. In that instant, we were accepted in the Beloved. Hallelujah. God is faithful in those times when we're going through the trial. You know, we're in perilous times. You know, right now, our nation's economy has really rebounded. And I'm glad that it has. But how many of you remember how things were in 2008 and 2009 and 2010? Huh? It wasn't fun, was it? And things were tough, and people were losing their houses and losing their cars, and people were becoming homeless, and things were bad. But you know what? When we're going through a hard time, God is faithful. I look back at some of the things that Israel went through after they came to the Promised Land. And a lot of things that Israel went through after David, actually, they brought upon themselves because they walked away from God. Late-term abortions. And they're saying not just late-term, but postpartum abortions. When we walk away from the principles of God, bad things are going to happen. I held a revival for a pastor in Pampa, Texas, several years ago, and he had a young son. Don't even remember his son's name now. But his son was pretty rambunctious, and he could get into all kinds of mischief. And I remember this pastor saying to his son, "If you do that again, I can assure you judgment will surely follow." And you know what? That boy became a gentleman because he knew that judgment was about to hit. I want to tell you, if America doesn't change course, judgment's on its way. And I want to say something else. It's time for the church to stand up and be the church. The church is not an entertainment venue. Did I say that? We're not here to entertain. We're here to preach the Word of God straight and strong and to the point. And frankly, the reason that our nation is in the condition that it's in right now is because the church is in the condition that it's in. It's time for us to... This isn't in my notes, by the way. It's time for the church to be the church. It's time for the church to get on our knees and cry out to God and say, "God, I have neighbors that don't know you. I have family that doesn't know you. I have friends that don't know you. I have coworkers that I see every day. Help me to be a light in every dark place so that people can come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and can have the peace and the assurance that all is well with their soul and they can change their life and begin to work with biblical principles so that you can bless them." Is this my water? Then it is. Israel had gone through some rough times. But when there were bad kings that rejected God and they walked away from God and they led Israel away from God, it seemed that God would bring some kings that truly loved him. And there was a king named Jehoshaphat who brought about a revival in Israel. And he restored temple worship and the worship of Jehovah. But there came a day when their enemies came out against them. You mentioned this morning or this evening that that Ruth was from Moab. Well, the enemies that came against Israel were Moab, Ammon, and Edom. And it was a much larger army than Israel could field. And Jehoshaphat prayed a prayer, and part of that prayer goes like this: "O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. Neither do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." How many of you have ever been in a situation when things were so confusing And it seemed like you were on the verge of being completely overwhelmed. But then you called out to God. And the Lord came on the scene and changed things and made them right. You know what? The Lord is really good at that. And even when we mess up, God is good at turning things around. He can take the biggest mess and turn it into something that is a huge blessing. But we have to put our trust in Him. And you know what the Lord said to them? You don't have to fight. Just stand and see the salvation of the Lord. I think this is the occasion. I have some of these mixed up in my mind sometimes. But I think this was the occasion that they sent the singers out in front. And the scripture says, as they began to sing praises unto Jehovah and to praise the Lord in the beauty of holiness, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, that's Edom, and they began to fight against one another. And there was deliverance. You can trust God in the most difficult, desperate situation because He is faithful. I think of when Esther was made queen and Haman had his conspiracy to destroy Israel. And Esther's uncle, Mordecai, came to her and said, "You're going to have to go talk to the king about this." And she said, "Well, you know what? I haven't been called before him for," and she named how long. "And you know that the rule is that if somebody comes into his throne room and he doesn't extend his scepter to them, that they're put to death." That's not a fun thing to face, is it? And Mordecai said this, "If you altogether hold your peace, then enlargement and deliverance shall arise for the Jews from another place." If you don't do what you're supposed to do, God has somebody else standing in the wings. But then he said, "But who knows whether you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Ladies and gentlemen, God put us in the United States of America for this time. God put you in Albuquerque, New Mexico for this very season. It's for this time. It's for this place. And He may ask you to do something that seems absolutely ridiculous. But if you will be faithful and you will be obedient, the possibilities of what God will do are unlimited. Sometimes God tells us to do things that seem just totally stupid and illogical. Young man lost his iron axe head in the river. One of the sons of the prophets. And he went to Elisha and said, "Oh, my father, what shall I do? How am I going to get out of this? Because I borrowed that axe. And now the axe head is gone." And the iron, stuff made out of iron then was very valuable. And Elisha said, "Well, you see that sapling over there? Yeah? Well, go cut it down and throw it into the river." You know what? That young man didn't argue with the prophet. He didn't say, "That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. What is it going to help to go throw that little sapling into the river? I have an emergency here. Didn't you hear me? I lost the axe head." But rather than trying to figure it out and think it through and try to premeditate how things were going to work out, he just went and did what the prophet said. Threw the branch in the river, and the axe head began to float. I want to tell you something. A lot of people can't understand God because they try to apply things to Him that are part of the rules of the universe. God does not live in the rules of the universe. God made the rules of the universe. He is outside the rules of the universe. And whatever He says goes. So when the young man obeyed, God said, "You know, that iron axe head, you just need to rise to the surface." And God delivered him in a time of trouble. Folks, we can trust God. He will be faithful. He is always faithful. He has never failed once. And finally, everybody's always happy when we get to finally. God is faithful to complete what He started. I love Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing." Did you hear the word confident? "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Another version says, "will carry it on to completion in the day of Jesus Christ." What's God called you to do? You know, He doesn't call everybody to be preachers. If He did, it'd be pretty crowded up here. And you talk about long services. But He puts us, He places us in locations where we can have influence. Do you remember that Jesus said, "Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and" what? "And glorify your Father which is in heaven." God placed you where you are because He has a purpose for you to be there. Now, you may be in a dark place. But you know what? Your light can shine there. And did you know that the only thing that's faster than the speed of light is the speed of darkness? Because when light comes in, darkness flees. So if we can go into a place where there's darkness and we let our light shine, then God will be faithful to use us in that place. You know, God promised the children of Israel that he would bring them into the land of promise. He said, I'm going to give you this land that flows with milk and honey. And they sent the spies into the land. And the spies came back and they said, wow, what an awesome place this is. God told them, I'm going to let you eat of vineyards that you didn't plant. You're going to reap crops that you didn't plant. You're going to live in houses that you didn't build. And the spies came back and they said, wow, this is a place to be desired. But there are giants in the land. In that place where God has called you, you're going to discover giants. They're there. May not be apparent to you right now, but when your lights start shining, the giants are going to show up. And those spies came back, and two of them said, oh, wow, we are well able to take the country. But 10 of them said, wow, those giants are too big. And we were just like grasshoppers. Well, you may feel like a grasshopper, but God's not going to allow the giant to step on you. And those 10 spies caused Israel to spend 40 years in the desert until a generation died off. But there was a new generation that came along, and they said, we're going to believe God. Are you ready to believe God? Are you ready to take God as his promise? You know what happened? They came to the Jordan. It was at flood tide. God parted the Jordan. They came into the land, and their enemies fled before them. And they took the country because God was faithful to them. There was another promise that God made to Israel. He said, there's going to come a time when all of Israel that's been scattered throughout the nations are going to return to the land that I gave them. And in 1948, against impossible odds, the United Nations voted to create the nation of Israel. If it were to happen today, it would never happen. And people have come against that nation over and over and over and over. And God has been faithful to his people. God is a faithful God. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. You may be facing some giants. You may be in a circumstance that you don't have any answers to. You may feel like you're going down for the last time. That's how I felt in that instance whenever I was wanting to just leave the ministry and go do something else. But I can testify to 50 years of God's faithfulness and more. And I can tell you tonight, whatever you're going through, God will be faithful to bring you through it. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And He will give you everything that you need to fulfill that purpose. You're not here by accident. And let me tell you something. God isn't going to drop you in the grease. He's going to carry you through this situation, this circumstance, whatever you're going through, He's going to carry you through it. And you're going to come out on the other side. And you're going to say, wow, I don't know how I got through that. But you'll look back and you'll say, you know, the scripture said that I could have confidence that whatever God started in me, He was going to bring it to completion. And He's going to do that. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Lord, thank You that Your word gives us examples of Your faithfulness. Thank You that Your word lets us know that even in the difficult seasons of life, when it looked like things were completely lost, that You showed up and You saved the day. Lord, thank You that we can trust You. And Father, for any here who are here tonight who are going through a situation in their lives and they don't have an answer, they don't know what to do, they need You to intervene on their behalf. I pray, Father, that You would cause faith to well up in their heart right now in the God who is always faithful. And Lord, to seek You and say, God, what is Your answer for this situation? The answer for that young son of a prophet to the lost axe head was to simply cut down a small tree and throw it into the river. You may have something for people here tonight that make no sense, but if they'll follow You and they'll obey You, Father, an answer will come. And we thank You tonight for Your faithfulness. And Lord, I pray for faith and a willingness to trust You in Jesus' name. Just bow your heads for a moment. I don't know what's going on in your life. And frankly, I don't even need to know. All I know is that whenever we need an answer from God, He will be faithful. God may give you some instructions that you don't understand, but if you'll trust Him, He'll bring you through it. Is there someone here tonight, and you just say, Dale, I'm going through a situation in my life that I don't know how to deal with, but the Lord's talking to me tonight about just trusting Him through it. He's talking to me tonight about seeking His face and finding out what His plan is for me. And if you're here and you're in that condition and you're going through that kind of situation, would you just slip up your hand right now? I just want to pray a brief prayer for you. Yes? I see those. Anyone else? Yes? Anyone else? Yes? 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 Tell you, you don't have to tell anybody what's going on. But here's how I'd like to end the service tonight. If you raise your hand and you need an answer and you want to receive the answer, I want you to just step out and come forward and kneel at one of these altars. And I'm going to ask the rest of the congregation to come. And just surround these. And begin to pray for them. You don't have to ask them what's going on. All you have to do is touch God for them. Would you come and pray with these? Amen.